Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello and welcome to our podcast. My name is Emma and I'm here with Michaela this morning. How are you going, Michaela?
Good, a little bit tired today, but raring to go for our podcast.
Excellent, excellent. You'll be picked up by the end of this, so that's fine. Yeah. Well, we are here to share with you and encourage you in your faith and how to live out your faith in your everyday life. And the topic we're going to talk about today is abundant grace, God's abundant grace. In the weekly Heartbeat video this week, Rosemary Downs shared about how gracious our God is and the abundant grace that he gives to us. Now, Michaela and I have been talking, and sometimes we think it can be really hard to describe this abundant grace of God because it's so other, it's so beyond our thinking that trying to put into words at times can be really difficult, but we're going to do our very, very best, aren't we, Michaela?
We sure are.
When I think of abundant grace, I think about God loving us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could spend eternity with him. That's my first thoughts when I think of abundant grace, a God who's just so amazing, so loving that he couldn't help but send Jesus for us.
It's kind of amazing that something so whole and something that kind of saves us over and over again comes out of something that's so kind of drastic and gory and intense. I think about that all the time, how oftentimes we think about grace as this wonderful like blanket that covers everything bad that's happened, and it's like automatic healing and all of these things, which is very true, but I think it's really important to remember the origins of that.
I think I probably tend to think about it at times more like the blanket, but I think you're right. If we want to be more accurate, it's come out of us being sinful and God wanting us to spend eternity with him, but we couldn't do that due to our sins. So we needed to send Jesus to us. And then I assume the goriness you're also talking about is Jesus being put to death for us. Yeah. Like that's the gory detail.
Even hearing I've heard a few times people saying like, oh, we're washed in the blood of Jesus, and any other time that you hear that you would be like, oh my gosh, like that sounds horrible. But in this circumstance it's actually a blessing. I think that's something crazy to wrap my mind around.
Definitely it is, and it's something that I suppose it blows my mind that this is God's way. Like there was no other way. Like he knew that he had to sacrifice his only son in order that we would be able to spend eternity with him, to send his son, who is you know, that mystery of God, that the Trinity, so Jesus is God as well as part of that Trinity, that he sacrificed himself for us. Something that Rosemary describes that is abundant grace is that unmerited gift of the divine favor. So it was something that we didn't deserve, that God sent down to us. And that's so true. When I think about myself and how undeserving at times I can be, that there's this God who loved me that much, that he would do that for me. And he did it for humanity, but then he did it individually for me.
I think the awesome thing about that divine favor is not only does it save us, but it sanctifies us. So not only does it save us from our sin and from our imperfect nature, but it also gives us the opportunity to grow towards reflecting God's perfect nature, which I think is something really special.
Rosemary says that in her video this week, grace gives us the opportunity to regenerate ourselves with his help, so God's help, to become more pure, holy, saintly, the sanctification of ourselves. So that word sanctification, which means to become like a saint. And that's interesting because I often think of saints as not me, you know, someone else, like it's
someone who just lived this incredible life that we are nowhere near able to replicate.
That's right. The bar's just so high and I'm not going to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But it's with God's grace and his help that we can get there.
Mm. Even thinking about saints, like without God's grace, they wouldn't have been able to be saints.
Mm. Mm.
Like take away God's grace and they're just a normal human.
Yeah. So it's like allowing God's grace to impact my life so much that it causes that change in me to move towards that holiness, which is becoming more saintly. And, you know, it seems so beyond ourselves, but that's what the grace is that God gives us. It's beyond ourselves. It's not, and it's almost, it's not really about ourselves. It's about God doing something in us.
And that almost makes me think, in the way that you described that, that grace is almost like a spiritual disruption.
Mm.
That kind of, you know, we have our ways of doing things. Oftentimes, I mean, humans are people of habit, I guess, if that's the way to say it. So if we're people of habit and we have some habits that aren't great, grace is the spiritual disruption that makes those habits kind of unearth, so that we can recreate, or not recreate, but reform our habits into better ones.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I hadn't thought of it in that way before, but I think you're right, because I think the purification and sanctification of ourselves is taking all these aspects of our lives and doing kind of what you said, disrupting them in such a way that we think about, let's say, a certain habit we have, let's say it's the words we speak, how we talk to people, and do my words reflect how God would want me to speak? And by disrupting, let's say, that habit, the way you talk to other people, by reflecting on that and allowing a change in that to become more how God would want you to speak, that's one way of moving closer to that sanctification.
Yeah.
And then it's doing that in that area of your life, and then going, okay, what's the next area and what's the next area? But it's an ever-going process in our lives, because just say I fix it today doesn't mean tomorrow or in 5 minutes' time I don't have to redo it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's that constant asking God to come in and change those habits in my life. Yeah.
Mm. And even beyond that as well, Rosemary mentioned that grace is a gift. And so you can imagine someone giving you a gift, but if you don't open that gift, if you don't receive it fully and open it and allow that gift to be held in your hands and used, if you put it aside in a cupboard or something, then that grace won't live to its full potential in your life.
Yep.
So knowing that as well means that grace does have the power to change our lives in that way, but we have to allow it to have the power. Because we're stubborn people. So I can imagine the amount of times in my life that God has said, maybe you should do it a little bit more like this.
Nudge, nudge, yeah.
And I'll go, but my way is so much better. Yeah. But in the end, you know, you figure out, okay, maybe it wasn't.
Maybe
it wasn't better.
Yeah, that's it. I think, unpacking that gift takes like recognizing how amazing our God is. To really, I suppose, have it dawn on you, or take that in, to knowing that we have this God who's so beyond our thinking, who's more than I can imagine. And like Rosemary describes it in words, his grace is, it's stunning, it's astonishing, it's overwhelming, it's full of wonder, it's impressive, spectacular, unbelievable. And all those words to describe it still cannot describe the grace and amazingness of our God. And so it's like putting that like so beyond, to know that there's this God who's so amazing and he loves me, you know, me so much. And when you get, I suppose, the depth of what that grace is, and I think that continues to unfold, that revelation, like that causes you to want to be more of who God wants you to be.
And I think from a self-esteem point of view, it's interesting, the more you let grace into your life and the more you let grace disrupt and transform your life, the more you like yourself as well.
Yeah, I agree with that, because then you can accept yourself for your little flaws that you have and your weaknesses, but also the good things you have, because we're not just all weak. We're like, we, you know, we have good things that God's put in us, of course. And then I think, yeah, you're right. It allows you to accept what that extra bit of grace that God can give you for those other bits.
Well, yeah, with grace, all of a sudden our faults aren't fatal flaws. They're things that can change or that God can make new in us.
Yeah.
They're like a way to grow closer to him almost.
Mm.
Like us being imperfect is the thing that makes us need him. So,
yeah, completely.
Mm.
You're right. And as we begin to understand more of how amazing God is, and I suppose at times how imperfect we are. Yeah, I like that. That's what causes us to grow closer to him. And it's something that, with grace, it's something we can never fully understand, but that's the mystery of God.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes God God. If we understood it, then he probably wouldn't be God. Or we'd be confident enough to not need him.
Yeah, well, we can even get distracted kind of looking for tangible signs of God in our lives. I think sometimes if I'm in a doubtful season, it's very easy for me to be like, oh, well, God doesn't exist because I can't see, you know, thunder and lightning and voices booming from the clouds. But I think if you look a little bit more closely, grace is actually the evidence of God in our lives as well.
I think it's difficult too sometimes to understand grace because it's something that we were given, we didn't have to do anything for.
Yeah.
And so often, if we get something good, often it's because we've done something. You know, not always, I realize that, you know, can be given a gift, but I mean, that's what this is. We haven't done anything for it. So to accept something sometimes when you haven't done anything seems weird because, yeah, you think, why? I mean, the answer is God loves us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's such a depth to that that I think we continue to unpack for our whole lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. When you're an early Christian, it makes me sound like I'm, you know, 500 million years ago. Yeah. So when you're in your early stages of Christianhood, I feel like it's very easy to be like, oh, you know, once I've walked with the Lord for like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I'll be at my peak of knowing him and I'll just stick to that for the rest of my life and I'll be set.
Yeah.
But you get to later points and you're like, oh, wait. I have to keep making that choice over and over again, or there's still hard times.
Yeah.
I think we, you know, especially later on, you kind of think, oh, like how haven't I gotten this already? I've been doing this for a while now. Like surely I would have this habit down.
Hang of it. Yeah.
But I think that's, I mean, magical is the wrong word, but I think that's the miraculous thing about grace.
Yeah. And I think that ties in with what we were talking about earlier about that sanctification. It's not just, you know, we've overcome one thing and now we're done. And like you said, a few years into this Christian journey, now I should be the rest of my life. If I just stick at this point, like you said, I'll keep going.
Yeah.
No, it's that constant becoming more like God, becoming more like Christ, renewing yourself in him all the time, meaning looking at all those aspects of your life and going, God, what can be more like you?
Yeah.
And well, just doing it over and over. Yeah.
Even like Jesus didn't say it is finished until he died to himself.
Mm.
So like knowing that, I don't think we can say it is finished because it's very difficult to make a decision like that. And I don't think in our lifetime we'll never make the same decision that God made.
Yeah.
But making decisions even in a small manner similar to that can take years of build up for us.
Yeah. So when it comes to the weekly challenge this week, Michaela had an amazing thought about why don't we allow God to bless us with his grace in our circumstance. Michaela, why don't you explain that better than I did?
Yep. I think each one of us, whether we're in an amazing season or one of those seasons where it feels like everything is just not really going our way, there is either one, at least one, big or small thing that we're kind of holding on to for ourselves. It's one of those things that maybe it's a fear thing, maybe it's a pride thing, but we're holding on to a circumstance and saying, like, I can be sufficient for this. So what we want to challenge you to do this week is to take that circumstance to your prayer and to, I know it's going to be tricky, but you just need to let go of that hold a little bit.
Yeah.
And and to really offer it in a way that you're open to receiving grace for that situation. And I think what you'll find after doing that, it may not be solved or taken away, but it may be easier to take on.
Yeah, yeah. So allowing grace to enter your circumstance. Mm. Yeah.
So what?
Okay, so this week for our So What scripture, I want to talk about John 10:10. Now, this is an awesome scripture that I love, and it says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So what does this scripture mean for our lives? You know, often when I've heard it, I've just kind of heard the last part. "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." So this is Jesus talking and saying, you know, that's why he's come, that we would live an amazing full life. But if you go to the first part, it actually says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then it follows with, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." And this is because the first part is talking about how the devil, the enemy, wants to rob us of life. The enemy wants to take our peace, wants to destroy our life, doesn't want us to live up to who we can become in Christ. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus has come so that we can live that fullness of life in him. So what does that mean for our life? It means that as we're going through our life, if we're doing our very best to have Jesus enter into all our circumstances, then we're able to live that full life that he's called us to be. And I imagine that as just being for myself, you know, achieving all the things in my life that God's put on my heart, the desires that he has for me to be, you know, an amazing mother, to be an amazing worker, to be a great wife, to be a great daughter, to achieve the talents in my life, to use them to their fullest ability, you know, by having Jesus, asking him to come and be in all of those parts of my life. That's what I imagine as living my absolute fullest life. And that extends to also being someone who loves deeply, extends kindness to others, who gives generosity beyond people's imagining, to be forgiving beyond belief. It's only with Jesus that I can do that. And that's living my life to the full. So why don't you think about that scripture this week and think about how with Jesus in your life, that's how you can live your most fullest life.
Worship song of the week.
So every week we want to share with you a worship song that has touched us in our own spiritual lives, in our faith journey, and has spoken to us in where we are with God. This song that I want to share with you this week is a very close song to my heart. This song was actually played at my wedding, and it's called Arms of Grace by Brian and Katie Torwalt. The same message that we wanted to have spoken to the people who attended our wedding is what I want to speak to you now, and that is that the lyrics in the chorus say, "Come as you are." So I want you to know that regardless of what is going on in your life, this song speaks of the rest that we can find in accepting God's grace into our hearts as the gift that it is. That means that by letting grace into our lives, we receive God's peace, and we receive wisdom to understand our circumstances and to move through them. As well as that, this song has beautiful voices, melody and instrumentation, and as a musician it's quite pleasing to listen to. So if you have a good heart for music, then I would say definitely take a listen to this song. But if you're in a situation where you feel like you might need encouragement to accept God's peace into your life, I also suggest you listen to this song.
Spotlight.
So each week we like to shed a spotlight on a person or maybe a movement or a company that has really been a great aid in any of the team members' spiritual life. And this week I really want to speak about a woman named Morgan Harper Nichols. Morgan Harper Nichols is an artist and poet. She's Christian, and she has a beautiful Instagram page as well as website. She's an artist and poet whose work is inspired by real life interactions and stories. So Morgan actually spent the first couple of years of her professional life as a college admission counselor, then as a full-time touring singer, songwriter and musician. But it was on the road that she cultivated her curiosity and passion for writing and art and design. And this resulted in her sharing some of her work online, and it has become widely popular. She's actually started a project where she invites people to submit their stories on her website. I've had friends do this, and I also do this sometimes, and the work that comes out of it is just incredible. She creates art as a response to their stories, sends it to them privately before sharing her work publicly. It doesn't include names or anything. That's all kept private, and all the personal stories are kept private as well. But the fruit of this project is shared daily in publications and various collaborations and things, where she actually shares poems in the form of art as well, that really just speak life into so many different circumstances. So if you want to check out her work, you can go to Instagram and search Morgan Harper Nichols, or you can go to morganharpernichols.com.
Jottings from my journal.
Each week, Rosemary writes a blog called Jottings from My Journal, and you can get this on our website, heartministryforwomen.com. And she's been amazing and spoken some of these out for us, just for us to meditate on and reflect on. So please enjoy this week's jotting from Rosemary Downs.
As I get older, I reflect on my life and beliefs more, and I love to read about other people's reflections on their lives. I've wondered whether we need proof that there is a God. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, the great evangelist, once wrote, "If God could be measured, he would be too small. And if he could be proven, he would be too simple." Wow, what a statement. Our God is so huge, awesome, and magnificent that our limited brains cannot contain even a fraction of who he is. My thoughts stirred me to get to know God more and question why so many others do not feel that same stirring or that same desire. St. Augustine wrote, "For who can love what he does not know?" That's it. So many others don't know him and therefore don't get the desire to even know him more and more. So don't love him, so don't know him, so don't love him, and so it goes. But who told them about God? Maybe no one. St. Augustine continues in this same vein. "It is possible for something to be known and not loved, but not to know, to love, impossible. This knowledge of the God of love is our responsibility. It was given to all Christians when Jesus left this earth. He said to us, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation,' in Mark 16:15. And again in Romans 10:14, it says, 'How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in the one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim unless they are sent?' And in verse 17, 'Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ.' So we as Christians, who are so often hung up on phrases like, 'I'm not capable, I can't talk or preach, I don't know what to say,' don't focus on what we can't do. We need to stand on the faith in God and know what he can do. Use his words, use his power. Our power is in the message faithfully presented, because we are his instruments. He is the musician and he works through us. The more I get to know God, the more I love him, and the more I want to know him. The cycle is so true. Be inspired today and get to know God more. Start by talking to him, reading about him in the Bible. Then be brave and share what you know and see God working in others. Remember that someone was brave enough one day to share God with you."
Awesome. So that's our podcast for this week. Now, don't forget the weekly challenge, which is allowing grace to enter your circumstances. Go to prayer, think about that, or pray to God about that circumstance that you're really having a difficult time giving to God, and just ask God's grace to come and be in that circumstance, and just really reflect on that this week.
And we're really keen to connect with you. So if you've done this challenge throughout the week and you want to get back to us and let us know how it went, feel free to follow us on social media, Heart Ministry for Women, on Instagram and Facebook. Or you can head to our website. We would really love to just hear how this is impacting your life, or maybe hear some of your prayers. That'd be great.
That'll be awesome. So we hope that you have a really amazing week, and we look forward to chatting with you all next week. Bye.